What's up, guys? It is Rick on Flip with Rick, and we are live. And today, we're talking all about interest rates. And I'm going to teach you what to focus on as a wholesaler, because your interest in the interest rates are going to be different than the rest of the real estate market. And you have to learn what to look for, what points you can actually accent on interest rates, so you can actually accomplish what you want, which is basically assigning your contracts and moving that cash. And I've watched interest rates change for 21 years. We are now at a 40-year peak, and I've hit them at the very bottom. I hit the worst real estate crash in 100 years. So honestly, I know a thing or two about interest rates, and a lot of what you guys are focusing on is not the key things. But what we'll do today is go through the mechanics of it. I'll show you how to do it and how it relates to you. And we will engage everybody. We'll have a good time. So what I want you to do, if you have a comment, put it in the comment section. Yes, it's Rick Ginn. He's here live on Flip with Rick. And if you have a question, put it in there. Why not introduce yourself? Tell us what market you're from. Why don't you make a new friend here? These are all people that you can work together with. If you want to talk about wholesaling and you're super excited about wholesaling, and you're like, you live and eat, breathe this stuff like I have for 21 years. You guys know I'm not going anywhere. And you enjoy this type of content, then this is the greatest place to do it. So if you guys have never heard of me before, my name is Rick Ginn. I've been in wholesaling for 21 years. But more importantly, if you have an interest and you go, man, I love what you guys talk about with wholesaling. The real thing, it's never about how much money you make. Like, don't get me wrong. The idea is to get you completely free. If you want to learn exactly how to do it, I want you to go over. I'm going to put it right here, freewholesaling.com. It's a 100% free course me and my son have introduced to you guys. Take advantage of it. And guys, introduce yourself. Let's have some fun. Let's learn some stuff today. And most importantly, let's connect. Let's figure out what's going on wholesaling, and let's figure out how to make you a better wholesaler. But before I can make you a better wholesaler, you've got to get excited about this. I'm going to let my ADHD kick in here. I love wholesaling. I like high energy. And if you like that, you like me, you're in the perfect place. Let's go. Let's get it up.
Get the fuck out of bed, bitch. Go. Get up. Get the guy. Go. Gotta wake up, bitch, get up. Get up. Get up.
So you're like, if you go, what the heck was that? I just gave you a crash introduction to the Ginns in wholesaling. So I'm high energy. I am a full admitted ADHD. I just keep really busy. So wholesaling fits my personality perfect. I fought every other type of job, and that's enough for that. You guys will learn plenty with it. So let's talk about interest rates today, because I love what's going on in the market. You're like, wait a minute, Rick, did you just say what I think you said? I repeat, I love what's going on the market. Now, I never want to see anybody suffer. I never want to see anybody do anything that's not going to make people better. But the reality is, the one thing I figured out in life is change is certain. And if you think you're going to avoid change, you're losing your mind. Okay? So 21 years, I've seen more change than most people seen in multiple lifetimes, and I'm here to tell you. So we're talking about interest rates, okay? Interest rates are about to flip the wholesaling market. Now, if you guys remember, back in the early part of the previous year, I told you we are going to have some changes in wholesaling, mostly in the real estate market. So let's start with the broader picture, the real estate market. As you guys know, interest rates were low. We had a pandemic and inventory was like terribly low. And I told you that real estate will be the last one to the party, meaning the adjustment in the economy. And I still hold true to that theory. Nobody has a crystal ball when everything's going to happen. Your boy Robert Kiyosaki has predicted a real estate crash since 2014. He's going on 10 years, and eventually he's going to be right. But the truth is, nobody really knows, and stop trying to figure it out. I was told 2023 guaranteed real estate market's going to get destroyed. And here we are, guys. We have changes coming, but we're still waiting for that huge meltdown. And I'm here to tell you, it might not happen. But let's talk specifically about what interest rates and how they're going to affect on what we do. Now, I am not an economic major. Honestly, I probably fell asleep during class. I thought it was so boring, such outdated information. But I will tell you, I got 21 years track records of watching how people respond to interest rates. I know this to a T. Now, before we get into it, you have to understand, we're talking about how is this changing the wholesaling market? How is it changing? Guys, it has changed. Unless you haven't been on this planet, it has massively changed. I got 21 years experience. What's going on in 2023 is very different from what the last 7 to 10 years that have gone on. And quite honestly, you already know my theory on it. It was a ridiculous scaling slide. And there was tons of people making money with little skill set, just putting stuff under contract. I don't have to communicate to anybody. I just sell it to a cash buyer because they're a dime a dozen. Those days are over. And I'm happy for it because now we can get down to the business of actually working. You actually have to roll up your sleeves and you have to work. If you don't want to work, pack your bags like most of the gurus and leave. And what they'll do is they'll unpack their bags when everything gets back to perfect. Imagine that. If you ever wanted to work out or lose weight, you can only do it under perfect, ideal market conditions. You know that's not going to work, and it doesn't work in wholesaling. And why you think you're going to follow anyone that does that, it's ridiculous. I'm here to tell you this. You ready for this? Change is good. It is good for you personally. It's good for your business. Change is what creates deals in wholesaling, period. Because if everybody stayed in their house and nobody wanted to change, we would never have any motivated sellers to buy a house. If people didn't have problems, if people didn't take care of their mental soundness, we as wholesalers would have no product to sell. But you know that's not going to change. And that's what I want you to understand. It's not bad. Change is not bad. Change is the thing that is the only constant in wholesaling. And so many people in this business have taught you like, well, things have changed. It doesn't work anymore. No, you don't work. And until you admit that and come clean with it, you don't understand wholesaling. If you want picture perfect from 2012 to 2022, honestly, you could have thrown anybody in wholesaling. Here's the reality is they weren't wholesaling. They were just getting super lucky and trying to time the market. Now, all those people either are not making money, they've gone into another business, or they've packed their bags and they're going to come back when things are in better condition. Do you guys know anybody like that? Because that is a fair-weathered fan and you're never going to make it in this business. There are some years in wholesaling that are tougher than others. Here's the key. You got to keep wholesaling. Okay. The one thing, now let's go back to 2008 when we had a market correction. What was the primary problem with that one? Let me know in the comments because I want to get some feedback on it. You got to understand what was the primary problem with that? Put it in the comments. I'm not even going to spit it out here because you have to go back in history to learn lessons on how life like really works. Now, we have different types of market conditions. We have a lot of technology involved. We got a lot of gurus involved. So what was the one changing thing that started the complete meltdown other than George W. Bush back in 2008 that sent the real estate market in its worst crash in a 100-year recorded period? So, no, it's not that. So the reality, guys, it was an underwriting problem. And what do I mean by an underwriting problem? It means they were writing really bad loans. The grocery bagger, my son's previous job, if they could just fill out some paperwork and do a stated income loan, they got $500,000 properties. And when the cash flow broke and the rent rolls broke backwards and the prices plummeted, that market sent inventory into a tailspin. Okay. And this is what I'm going somewhere with this. I promise you. Here's what happened, guys. Is inventory is the key factor that destroys real estate prices. And a lot of people go, well, it's interest rates. No, no, no. Interest rates are the precursor to things adjusting in real estate. Now, I'm not here to tell you the real estate market's going to crash because I don't guess. I'm just like you. I just have to stay on top of things. So if you have a guru that shows you one stat and goes, the market's going to crash, it's like a bait and switch. Like, I don't need your views that bad to lie to you. So the truth of the matter is nobody knows. And when someone puts their butt on the line, they better put a date and a month on it if you want to make a prediction. But if it was so easy, everybody would know and we all wouldn't have to be sitting here guessing. So the reality is when interest rates go up, and God knows they've gone up, and you guys, we're at, as of this live video in 2023, we're around 7.1, 7.25, maybe 7.3 for an average 30-year wholesale. I'm sorry, 30-year mortgage. And honestly, if you're getting FHA or you're getting a 3% or less, you're at 7.9 last I checked. Those are big numbers, guys. And we're not talking about $100,000 houses anymore. The average cost of a house in the United States, I want to say it's got a 4 in front of it. Someone can look it up and Google it for me. It's hard for me to do all the averages, but the reality is when interest rates go up, people's cash flow goes down, meaning it costs more to carry the mortgage. So if you're doing a 1 to 3% down, you're at an 8%. Guys, an 8% on a $400,000 or $500,000 house is a huge, huge monthly payment. And here's what happens. If you don't have the job, you don't have the documented income, because here's the only saving grace in the real estate market right now is the underwriting requirements are really tight on commercial and residential. That has not changed. And I'm actually happy for it. They've learned from the previous mistakes. So where are we going into? Where are the tailwinds taking us, particularly the wholesaling? Here's the only thing. Interest rates, honestly, they could go flat. They could go up a little bit. But I'm telling you, we're going to wind up at flat or up a little bit, probably for the next 12 months, because our economy is really screwed up. I'm not going to get into the economy. Like, I'm not in your politics. Honestly, both parties are a complete train wreck, in my opinion. We way overspend our money. And the fact we have to keep getting permission to fund our government, the reality is if they stayed within the limits they're supposed to, we wouldn't have to do this every 3 or 6 months. I'm not going to get going. Please don't get me going on the rant about the government. It's like if I gave you a credit card with a $1,000 limit and then you came back and I need $2,000 and then the next 6 months you need $4,000, it just never stops to the point till you get to like $32 trillion. At some point, the madness has to stop. That's another conversation. So when interest rates go up or they stay, it basically discourages demand for real estate and the affordability factor goes down. So people could afford a $500,000 note mortgage. If it goes up another percentage, now they can only afford like a $425,000 house. And it puts pressure on anyone who's listed their property. I'm not worried about the current listings. Absolutely not. Here's what we're worried about is the future listings. The reality is inventory is the focus to real estate market. Inventory. So right now, as I shoot this, right now we have still record low inventories. These numbers are changing as we speak. If you guys want to drop in the comments and tell me how it's affecting your local market, I'm going to share some numbers with you. But watch interest rates. I believe they're just going to kind of flatline. They might go up another quarter. Depends on how crazy inflation is. But the cost of a barrel of oil has just started to hit record prices. And if it hits triple digit, these numbers are going to go up, guys. The cost of energy, especially you people in the colder sections of the United States, it's going to be outrageous. Listen, go to the grocery store. Don't tell me there's no inflation, guys. I'm getting killed. I'm scared to death to go to the grocery store. I just bought a thing of like creamer the other day. I was just in shock at the price on it. I don't go to the grocery store often, and now I know why. I don't understand why eggs and everything's so damn expensive. Another conversation. But let's talk about Zillow. let's go through some specific markets. And if you guys are in this stuff, printing money like crazy, that's so true. Let's talk about it. So back on the government note, you got to understand all these government bailouts when we do is, like, have you guys seen the stuff with the ERC, the Employee Retention Credit? There's like, they earmarked a ridiculous amount of money for this. And to this date, there's companies out there still pushing this stuff. It's so out of control with fraud and like fake crap printed money. The government's put a halt on it because people are getting 25% commissions on it. It's absolutely nuts what goes on in our government. We just encourage reckless spending year over year. And as they print these money and have these programs, the more dollars in circulation, the more money there is to go out, and that artificially drives up prices. So the real question is, does real estate really appreciate? My theory is, you ready for this? I think we just print money so stupidly in this country, everything has to go up in price. So you might as well grab the biggest asset of them all, which is real estate, and take full advantage of it. Okay? But here's the problem. I'd like to give you a general statement all over the United States. It doesn't exist. As I speak of this in Florida, we have a ridiculous inventory problem. Anything below $450,000, gone. Instant. And these houses I used to buy for $50,000, so you know I'm in shock because I'm an old man. But I understand the market. It is just a number. You cannot live in the past prices. We have to adapt to the new prices. This doesn't, even with real estate, we talk about cars and boats. I mean, cars are $100,000 now. I was looking at one the other day. I go, you got to be kidding me. This is absolutely nuts. So let's go through specific markets because it's crazy. Florida. Now, if you have a house close to the $800,000 mark, unless it's perfect and you're offering great, it's not moving. So at some point, this low inventory is going to shift. Now, we already know demand is trying to be squashed. And a third of real estate, as of this, is trading on cash. Never heard it before that number in my life. I've never heard of more than like 20-25%. Because people are frustrated so hard to get a mortgage because the interest rates are so high. It makes sense that you got to understand we have an inventory problem. Watch the interest rates. They're going to go stable. Now stop focusing on the mortgage rates and start watching the inventory. How do I get the inventory numbers? It's simple. Look up your local real estate association. Unfortunately, it's ran by NAR. You can look at the national numbers, but it's not going to help you out in your local market and see if your inventory is climbing. So in Florida, we've had a 3.5 to 4 month supply of inventory. I'm waiting. That number is starting to creep up, but it's going so slow. I don't really see it fixing itself this year. Hey, how do I know when we get a more healthy market? You got to get into double digit for inventory. So if you have a 3 month market, if it goes to 12 months, what's that mean? It means there's plenty of options for sellers to pick. And then, buyers to pick. And then sellers are actually going to have to do this crazy thing. You ready for this? It's called negotiate. We haven't been negotiating for the last 5 to 7 years. And I'm telling you, it is a phenomenal thing for you as a wholesaler. Remember, change is good. Whenever interest rates go up or interest rates go down, I get excited because people make decisions based on changes. It happens all the time. So let's go through some numbers. I'm going to show you how crazy this is. So we could say Zillow prices are falling, but except for Florida, this and that. It's absolutely crazy. Parts of North Carolina. Phoenix, one of the most oversold markets, crazy stuff going on. As of this today on this live stream, they're down 8.5%. What does that mean? I don't know. It's ridiculous. It means they're starting to get their inventory numbers up. Anybody in Phoenix on here? I'm sure there's somebody on here. Let me know what your inventory levels are. Guys, we have to start talking inventory over this country because when I see Phoenix is rising, Florida's rising, North Carolina's rising, Georgia's rising, you will get that overall consensus that real estate is having a slight bit of a meltdown. I don't even call it a meltdown. It's called an adjustment. But let's jump around the country. 1.4 in Dallas. So have you noticed there's trends? So if you look at states like Texas and Florida, they're not getting these ginormous rate drops that you're getting in Phoenix and some other markets. But do you notice I made that stupid blanket statement like Texas, it's bulletproof, right? It's bulletproof. Oh, crap. 12.9 down in Austin. And I think Austin's amazing. I think it's a really hip, progressive city. How can it be going backwards? They have inventory that's creeping up. So the one thing you have to understand is you have to focus on inventory. Interest rates, that's just an affordability problem at this point. And honestly, we have a crazy thing going on. So we also talked about, but then I jump around and I go to the East Coast and I go to Fayetteville, North Carolina. They're almost up 10%. So you're going to go crazy looking at these numbers, understanding what's going on. So you're going to have to, every market is different. And so any guru that comes out and gives you these open blank statements, here's what's happening in the country, forget about it. The one thing you need to understand is all real estate is local. It's local. So deal with your local market. And if you have a virtual market, make sure you understand the numbers. What's the most important number? It is inventory. You have to understand inventory. If you don't understand inventory, I know you don't want to talk about. Whenever I go on the market, I absolutely dig into the inventory numbers. And it's so easy to do. Any of you guys can Google it. I'd like you to do it now and just look and start sharing with me inventory numbers. Because guys, this is the only thing I'm looking at going into Q4 for 2023. So let me guess, some great guru influencer is going to tell me, we're going to have a market crash in 2024. Well, dude, you've been guessing for 9 years. I guess the 10th time you're going to get it right. Okay. Stop taking people's, like, there's only one man upstairs that knows what's going on. And he's probably looking at the United States like, I don't even know what they're doing. So he's not in control with that, but he is, you know that. So what can we do moving forward? And how can we make this work for wholesaling? Because that's the most important thing. Because everyone's like, okay, Rick, what's the key? What do I need to do? I'm here to tell you, man, you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and you're actually going to have to work with sellers. You're going to have to spend time and you're going to have to develop incredible rapport. For some reason, in the last 7 years, most gurus, not every, has taught you just run people over, get it under contract, throw it up against the wall and see what sticks. And honestly, in hindsight, it wasn't the worst strategy in the world. It is a sprinter strategy and they're all gone now. So now you can sit back. Now you got to figure out what do I need to do going forward? If you think I'm going to give you some complicated formula and tell you, you got to do this and you got to adjust your ARV by 62% or whatever it is, here's my hard school knocks for you. Ready? The best thing you do is just get lower prices. You have to get lower prices. Lower prices cures all problems in wholesaling. So many of you reach out to me and go, Rick, I have a property under contract and I've called like four or five sellers. They all tell me I'm crazy. The price is too high. Can you help me sell it? No, I can't. I'm not a miracle worker. I can't do it. I love everybody who watches this show, but I am not God. I cannot. If you entered into a bad contract, just get the heck out of it and go find the right way to put them under contract. The reality is most of you put properties under contract because you're scared to have a hard conversation with people. You don't go for no, you go for yes, like a realtor does. And you think a cash buyer is going to bail you out. You spend no time developing a relationship with a cash buyer. And then you come back to me and Zach and want to know why you're struggling. And then you're saying, this guru taught me this. This guru taught me that. I go, listen, when you actually want to work, let me know. That's it. Okay. So like simple examples here. If you locked up deals for 100K before and you sold them at 120, you're going to have to lock them up at 90 and shoot for 110. And sometimes you got to take 105 or sometimes you have to take 100. You're never going to get killed taking a profit. The thing is, you're going to have to go out and market and get very consistent. Some deals you take $5,000, some you take 30 from. You never know. Remember, the deals, we find the deals, then the deals pick us. Okay. We only focus on people that need to sell their house. I avoid people that want to sell their house at all absolute cost, period. So for the last 5 years, every guru has taught you just deal with everybody. I'm just telling you, that's not wholesaling. It's not what we're about. And no, like I can't make anyone sell me my house. I don't care how good you think you are. You can be the most incredible talker in the person, but you're never going to make somebody sell you their house. Can you work with them? Can you open up communication? Can you take the wall down? Absolutely. That's what I teach. But I only invest in people that need to sell their house. You taking 2 hours building an amazing conversation with someone that wants to sell their house, you are in realtor world. Go get your realtor's license. Almost every guru teaches how to go on MLS and do all that stuff so you can waste all your time. I don't teach any of that stuff. Off-market properties, people that need to sell their house that are highly motivated. Wholesaling's always been like this, even back in the 50s and the 60s, guys. But someone tried to do a modern spin and tried to do like the realtor version. I'm just telling you, it doesn't work. Okay? The second thing is, interest rates are either going to go flat or they're going to go up just a little bit more. It's not a bad thing. And so I want you to understand this. When the interest rates go up, so the news is now getting out. Real estate's getting expensive. Everyone's fully expecting a crash. You are on the sweet spot of wholesaling now. You know why? Where do your sellers get their information from? They get it from two places. Put in the comments. Let me know which places do you think sellers get their information from? Because I know this for a fact. I know this for a fact. And if you nail two, I don't know. I might have to throw something in here. Where are the two places where all sellers get their information from on how they think the value of the real estate is? So Jason's got the one part right there. The news is one. Everybody's program is the same damn story on every state. I don't care if you go to CNN, Fox, whatever you do. They're all crazy in my opinion, okay? It's not news. It's programming. And when you start programming people, when they told you the real estate was hot, guess what? They went crazy. And see, Cheryl hit the double whammy here. It's absolutely correct. Zillow and the news. That's it, guys. That is the intel. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I started out wholesaling, none of this stuff was there. I'm not a hypocrite. I know what's going on. So if you know how your sellers are programmed, you have ammo to attack it. If you go on a seller's appointment and you don't know what their Zestimate is or Zillow, that's on you. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, it's wrong anyways, but you should at least know it. If you're ever having a discussion with a child and you're trying to solve an issue, you should already know what the problem is and the answer and program them to go to that way, because that's what the media does to all sellers. So if we know this going into it, very good answers. Actually, let me take this off. Cheryl, you got to jump on a live. I'm impressed that you hit them both on the head. So hold on. Let me put this away. You guys know I'm not a... Okay. So I lost my train of thought because ADHD kicked in and I'm back. So I love participation because it makes me think people are actually paying attention to it. So let's talk about like the worst case scenario. Once again, stop looking at interest rates because interest rates have a double whammy effect. If they remain the same, you can actually predict what's kind of going to go happen. Inventory levels, most likely, this is not a forecast, but just a historical guess, is their interest rate levels are going to creep up. And what happens with real estate is once it's like, if you ever had a crack in a foundation, just a little bit of water gets in there. And as it gets more and more pressure every month, it exponentially starts to rip the gap open. So if you get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months of inventory creeping up, it's a snowball effect. And most likely the same thing will happen with the unemployment rate, but it makes no sense to me because it's not following any traditional paths. But once the inventory level starts to build and the unemployment number starts to build, it snowballs. And then that's usually when the government panics and tries to use like the Federal Reserve to calm the markets down. But we have this additional pressure called inflation. Everything's so unaffordable, it's ridiculous. It's actually cheaper to build a new house than to buy one on the market. As crazy as that sounds, that's true in a lot of your markets. So let's talk about some of the worst cases. This is my opinion. It's an opinion. It's not a forecast. It's an opinion. So take what you want out of the information and it's subject to change. I think everybody's forecast should have a little asterisk next to it, subject to change. Worst case scenario, probably 5 to 10% correction. I'm telling you, if we have a real estate complete meltdown like we did back in 2008, honestly, real estate's going to be the least of your problems. There's going to be people in the streets not getting jobs. So we don't have an underwriting problem. We don't have a mortgage problem. So unless people lose entire faith, in all of real estate in the United States economy, the only thing that would cause that is if our government defaulted on everything and shut down, which is not completely out of the question, but I'm a betting man. So they always find a way to take our money and pay ourselves back. And I'm not here to talk about fixing the government because I don't have enough time to do that in a live. So most likely, probably 5-6% drop between one. Remember, you guys have so many markets out there. I can't give you a blanket statement. And this is some of the problem with what's going on today's market. People are giving blanket statements and they're fooling you. And they're like, hey, this is what's going to happen. So let's work ourselves backwards. Since Rick's done this for 21 years, and God knows I have panicked, guys. I have hit that panic button and go, holy crap. If you right now are going, oh my God, I'm doing wholesaling. It's not working what it was taught to me the last few years. It's correct. Because the way you guys were taught was an unrealistic expectation. You actually have to work this business. Number one, what is your product? Put in the comments, what is your product in wholesaling real estate? What is the product? And question number two to that, let's do a two for Cheryl will probably answer this. Who is your customer? What is your product and who is your customer? And if you don't understand these two things, please go over to freewholesaling.com and figure it out. Who's your customer? Who's your product? So I'm going to let you guys do two sets of answers so I can give someone a fair. Let's see who nails it first. Jason's almost there. So I am going to go with, wait a minute. I think, my God, you guys put so many answers on it, went fast. I lost them. I think David's closest to it, so I'm going to give it to him because he did it first. The product is actually solving sellers' problems. And when you solve a seller's problem, you get a contract. When you have a contract, you sell it to your customer, which is the cash buyer. If you have clarification, you understand that. So you guys realize for the last 7 to 8 years, the entire guru industry has told you, don't worry about your customer, which is the cash buyer, because they're a dime a dozen. You don't have to spend any time with them. They're crap. If you adapted that philosophy, you are no longer in wholesaling business. I know this for a fact. Okay. Awesome job, David. Thank you very much. So the reality is you have to understand that. So most importantly, how can I learn a lesson from this old man called Rick? Great. Awesome. I do have some practical experience in this. So how did I get rich during the last market crash? I'm going to be honest with you. I freaked out. Full disclosure, because I just started in 2003. I got rolling in 4, and then I got 2 years of headwinds and I was cranking away 3 years and I was having a lot of, and I was cocky. I like to say I was young. I was in my 30s. I started much later than most of you that are doing this. It doesn't matter when you start wholesaling. It has no memory of your age. Doesn't care if you're 14. Doesn't care if you're 94. Give me a centurion that does wholesaling and I'll partner with him on every deal. I love it. Somebody that's 100 years plus. Okay. You ready for this? How did I get rich during the last market crash? And guys, put in the comments. Let's see what did Rick do to survive from 2008 to 2010? Because I got to be honest with you, for 3 months, I scratched my head. And I go, what the hell do I do now? And I missed some golden opportunities and I took over some incredible opportunities. But I got to be honest with you, I got so nervous and so scared. Like, how am I going to take care of my family? Zach at the time, was he like 7 years old? He's what does dad do? Dad just spends a bunch of time with me. Okay. Oh my God. It's like, look at this. The hip hop analyst nailed it. You never quit. I never quit. I get frustrated. I get pissed off. Absolutely. But I never quit. And that's what you guys got to understand, which brings me to my point here is I just kept wholesaling. The minute you think it's hard and you just want to stop because you think better times are coming, you got a better opportunity, you're done. You've mentally quit. And studies show when you mentally quit something, it's 10 times harder to start it back up. I swear to you. And let me tell you, I had some hard conversations. Deep down. And honestly, at that point, if I decided to pack it in, which I considered it because I was naive, I was young, and I thought I knew it all. And when you took it away, I was making 20, 30 grand with my eyes shut. I'd have $60,000 a month. I thought I had life all figured out. Number one, I didn't plan for a rainy day and I spent a lot of my money. Full disclosure. Number two, I let my identity tie myself to wholesaling. And if I couldn't do wholesaling, I felt like I wasn't worthy of doing it. And it pissed me off. And it made me question a lot. Number three, my ADHD almost lost me in this because I didn't know what to do every day. And once I found out what's going to happen in the market, because you got to see when the market starts to crash, guys, I want you to understand when the market's going down, cash buyers right here, they like to stay over here because they want to find when it hits the bottom and bounces back up. But I didn't know when the bounce was coming. So I had a choice. Either I got out of wholesaling or I figure this crap out. Okay. I just kept doing it. I will tell you, I took smaller spreads and I ramped up marketing. Although marketing got a lot easier because there were so many properties and there was actually, God, I even hate to admit this out loud. There was a small 18-month period where you could get anything you wanted off MLS. Now, that's not today. Don't even try that. It won't work. I'm not telling you to go to MLS. Honestly, you got to stick to off-market property. So let's talk about what we can do to get rich going into Q4 of 2023 and the 2024. Okay. I'm going to hit you with the truth with this. You're not going to find this in any real estate course. And if you want to learn the mechanics out of this, go over to freewholesaling.com. I teach in detail how to do it, but you got to understand this. Okay. Guys, please, for the love of God, lose the MAO theory, your formula, all that crap. It has been a crutch. You guys walk around with a crutch on your arm. It says MAO on the crutch and you're hopping around on it. MAO stands for maximum allowable offer. The reality is if you hang your head on that, you guys are going to get dangerously close to it. So if a property is worth 250 grand and your MAO is 230, whatever it is, and you decide to make an offer at 220, what are you going to do? Who taught you this strategy? Why are you so close to the top end offer? It makes no sense. Think about this, guys, for a second. Why would you do that? Okay. It's because you need to flip it around and talk about the LAO. Okay. And LAO just stands for the least allowable offer. Why? It's wildly uncomfortable. It doesn't make you feel really good about it. But the reality is, it engages a negotiation to get the best deal humanly possible. And remember, you can't force somebody to sell you a house. It has to be two parties that consent. So I'm never worried about it. If you offer a dollar and they want $1 million, you're not getting a deal. But so on that same scenario, say the house is worth, what did we say? 250. Okay. Instead of you offering 230, knock the number down. Offer them 150. But Rick, they're going to say no, and my feelings are going to get crushed and hurt. I don't care. The reality is if you do it exactly the way I teach it at freewholesaling.com and you actually, number one, be your authentic self. Stop this crap. Stop these fancy jackets. Stop these slick shoes. Nobody wants to see you in a fancy car. Homeowners don't care about that crap. Be yourself. If you're an incredible family person, brag about it. People love your family. If you're a funny person, laugh. God gave you a gift to laugh. If you know how to connect with people naturally and you're really good at rapport building, do it. If you're an empathetic person like I am, they love it. And it's genuine. It's not fake. It's real. That's why a lot of people connect with me because I don't hide behind this fake guru persona. I hate it. Honestly, it's for 10 years. It's why I didn't even come on the camera and do this because I did not want to be like every other guru out there. Fake, pretentious, look at me. And I don't go to like seminars and stuff like that because it's all, most of it is just, it's a pep rally. I'm going to just tell you this. So focus on the LAO. LAO is basically the least allowable offer. So I learned this technique because back in 2009, I learned whatever offer I was going to make, I was just going to minus off 50,000 because I overpaid for a few properties. I go, how can I fix it? So I handicap myself. So if you guys play golf, my handicap's like, it's terrible. It's probably like 15, 20. And you're still going to kill me. So a handicap is if you were going to offer 200, now offer 150. Do that. I swear to God, it works. You know why? because you're so programmed to try to get a yes that you're trying to be a realtor. And I'm telling you, it's not going to work. So, but Rick, they're going to reject me. No. You're going to build an amazing conversation. You're going to get rejected. But here's the difference. You expect to get rejected. So when I offer 150, you know what the customer says? If you've built rapport, if you're going to do this dry and cold, I promise you, you're going to get an unpleasant response. I'm not talking about that. And you know what? Occasionally you will get an unpleasant response. Deal with it. They go, Rick, there's no way I can do 150. Like, that's crazy. What have you done? You've reset their expectations. Because if you sneak up to that MAO, guess what? That price keeps moving up. They go, well, if he's going to pay that, I can get him up to here. So when I go to a low number, they're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to chase him a little bit because he's so far off on his number. And I say, listen, don't shoot the messenger. And they go, well, listen, I spoke it over my wife. I go, the least we can take is like 185. That's it, Rick. I can't go any lower. I just saved 2 weeks of negotiations. I got a really good deal. My seller's happy. And I know my customer at the end, the cash buyer, is going to be happy. And then I can move this product in two weeks or less, and everybody wins. But most of you try to avoid these because you go, it makes me uncomfortable, Rick. It scares me. Deal with it. If you want to do what 95% of the rest of the world won't do, do it. If not, go do what everybody else is. Go join the matrix, get stuck, pay your full taxes, go get your job, and you're not going to get anywhere in life. And be okay with it. And everyone around you is going to try to keep you right there. If you ever notice when you come to wholesaling is people all of a sudden, like they're like, whoa, you've changed, Rick. Wait a minute. You think you're better than us? I'm not better than anybody. Like I've never, ever done that. But I know that if I can get more money, I can create more opportunities. I can help people out and I can create options. And most importantly, I can get time back. I have time to raise. The greatest thing wholesaling did for me, you guys think, oh, you got brutally rich doing it. I go, no. I made good money. I lived a comfortable life. I had the ability to spend every waking moment with my children. Okay. So my son's a successful investor, as you guys know, and he loves what he does. And he's very passionate about it. And honestly, he picked this path on his own. I was kind of surprised even when he did it, but he said, Dad, you spent so much time and so much freedom. And here's what I want you to understand. My daughter is getting her doctorate in the medical field. She's much smarter than I am, but that's her passion, what she's going to do, and I support her in it. And that's what wholesaling's allowed me to do. And if you can allow me to teach you how to do this, I'm here to tell you there is a path to do it. But most people are not going to tell you the truth. Here's the bottom line, guys. If you want to do this for your family, especially your children, stop telling your kids what to do. And show them what to do. Your respect will go through the roof. That is the main reason why my son works with me. Show them. Stop telling them. It's like if you're going to tell a kid you can't drink, and you guys sit there and drink in front of your kids, you're telling them to drink. I'm sorry. I'm not a hypocrite. I used to drink plenty. But like we have to look at the actions of what we do. Okay? So let's stay on track here. I know I go on philosophical stuff, but we have to attack distress list. When did somebody tell you MLS is a distress list? It's the worst list you can go. Are there deals on it? Yes. Can you do creative financing? Yes. And I love creative financing. I think anybody who teaches it, I think it's really cool. I love creative financing, but you have to have skill sets with creative financing. You can't just do it right out the gate. If your partner is in a seasoned person that's done tons of creative financing and they're going to partner with on the deal and be with you till the end, knock yourself out. But if you're not going to have structure the whole way through it, don't do it, because most people put up a chunk of money or they sign a deal and they don't understand why 5 years later they have to write more checks and they're not making any money. Creative financing, unless you structure it where you make money up front, you're at risk as a newbie. And a newbie, honestly, learn wholesaling is your greatest skill set. Because wholesaling will allow you to do anything you want to do in real estate. You have to have a lot of conversations with sellers to understand everything that goes on. And I'm not, again, listen, if you want to start out creative finance, it's fine. If you're doing it to avoid wholesaling, you're making a huge mistake. That's like going, listen, that's like going out for your high school football team and going, well, I don't know, man, they're pretty competitive and it's pretty saturated. So I don't want to compete. So I'm going to go play flag football. honestly, here's who I'm looking for. You ready for this? I get it. These people are at an incredible level. I'm going to find someone that helps me get to that skill set, and I'm going to go in and be the greatest football player of all, the greatest wholesaler. That's what you need to do. Stop trying to piggyback and skip. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do lease options. I love all that stuff. Wholesaling is the core of all of it. If you learn wholesaling, it's like learning basic math. You want to do algebra, trigonometry, calculus. If you want to be a buy and hold, a fix and flip, honestly, the person who has the most control is the wholesaler because they understand how to get a great deal. And by the way, everybody who tries to be a wholesaler after the fact, they usually fail absolutely miserably. I have the numbers for it. Also, I don't really, I'm not a guru. I don't want to say, I just give you like the truth. You got to stop following all this guru hype. You got Novations. Novations is not a wholesaling strategy. And if someone calls it 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, 5.0, it's not a software you update. So stop all this. Stop mixing retail with wholesaling. It is a fad. It is a trend. And unless you do it with tricky documents like power of attorneys and you don't have a lawyer on your staff, you're taking massive risk. Okay. If you don't think you can get sued by a homeowner or a state attorney's office, if you try to control a property with absolutely no ownership and you try to manipulate documents, once you enter into any type of legal agreement outside of a purchase and sale agreement, which you're still fiduciary responsible, but your interest is up front there. You say, listen, I'm going to buy this property. I'm the buyer, they're the seller. Once you start entering like power of attorneys, guys, you're in a massive conflict of interest. And disclosures do not cover you in court. I know this for a fact. It just exposes you. So if you think you're going to pair up with a distressed homeowner because they wouldn't take your low wholesale price, and you think you're going to get a cash buyer to fund the repairs, and then you guys are going to put it on the market and you're all going to split the money, I got an island to sell to you guys, like in the middle of nowhere that's fully furnished. It doesn't work. And the thing is, like in the state of Florida, could try to do an innovation in the state of Florida and fully disclose it to the title company, I guarantee they run for the hills. I'm not saying novations don't work. Novations should not be in a beginner's hands because they are complex transactions that involve legal documents. And if you don't have a lawyer with you advising you, you are putting yourself at risk. So here's all I want you to do. And then we're going to jump on the lives here. Stay consistent, market every day, find distressed properties, and go for the no. This is your ticket to get through this. And what I want you guys to understand is we have an inventory problem. Okay. I call it the slingshot effect. In 2008, I freaked out. I had tears rolling down my eyes. I admit it. I was freaked out. I didn't know how I was going to take care of my family. I didn't plan accordingly. So it taught me to learn how to invest and buy assets to protect me from future markets. But you getting started today, you have to understand how this game is played. So there's what we call the slingshot effect. And I'm going to wrap it up with this. 2008 to 2010, it was painful getting good deals. And I still made very good money, but I never worked so hard in my life. I'll give you full disclosure. But what happened was the slingshot effect. All those people holding back on their 2.99, 2.95%, 3.25% mortgages, there's a lot of trash houses. There's a lot of bad tenants out there, and there's a lot of nasty divorces getting ready to go on. That's just statistical. It never changes. And honestly, with the advent of these stupid things, it's 10 times worse because we don't communicate as a society. So the slingshot effect means everyone who's held off for the last 2 or 3 years because they believe they can't sell their property and get a lower mortgage, they're going to unload. And when they unload, it is going to be a lot of fun because you're going to have your pick of the litter out there. Now, the question is, how fast do they unload and how quickly does this change? Only time is going to tell. And the only way that you can keep track of that is you track the inventory in your local market. So I want you guys to start communicating with each other about inventory levels. So if you're in Phoenix, track it. It comes out monthly and it's easy to do. Okay. But do not do these, the United States, the market's roughly here. It doesn't help you in your local market. Okay. And last but not least, you got to remember this most importantly, you got to treat your cash buyers just like you do your sellers. They are your customer. And I honestly, I got told to shut up and be quiet when I spoke my voice in 2014, 15. I'm like, you can't treat cash buyers like this. It's going to bite you in the butt. They're a dime a dozen, Rick. You don't know what you're talking about. Now, all these people have told you, none of them are in business anymore because that's what sprinters do. Sprinters run. They take as much money as they can, and then they hit a wall and they crash and they take their BS and their scams to another market. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And they try to run real fast and then they hit a wall. Okay. But the thing is, they never stop. They run so hard, there's never even a break. Why not run a marathon with me? 21 years. I think I got a little bit of a track record. Guys, wholesaling, you cater it to the way you want your life, not the other way around. So when the real estate market adjusts and changes, which it always does, you got to figure out how to work and pivot in it with it. And there is about 75% of the market stays true, old school stuff. But there is 25% of changes in technologies and statutes and legislation that you have to keep up with it. And that's why we do these lives multiple times a week to help you guys get the damn truth on it, because I'm not selling you a product. So I can't sit here and spin this stuff all day. So that is enough of that. I'm going to jump on, do some questions here. If you want to do a one-on-one, jump on now. Now is your time to do it. There is go over to Wholesaling Houses for Real. There is a link in there. If you click the StreamYard link, you can get in line. We'll have a conversation. I like to talk about wholesaling, but I'm open. If you want to talk about interest rates in the real estate market, this is a great place to do it. I had a couple comments I tagged here. Let me see here. And you guys are awesome about answering questions. I did do some short sales when the market changed, but it was such a radical thing. Guys, trust me, all you want to do is make an offer on a short sale and get the hell out of the way, because they're when you have irrational sellers and irrational banks, they're an absolute nightmare. So, thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it. Yeah, I have a lot of battle scars in wholesaling. And here's what I do. You guys, you know, you don't see me all over the internet. I do not waste my time commenting. Let me put this. I'll comment with you guys in Wholesaling Houses for Real and like Flip with Rick. But outside of that, I do not go on other people's forums and go, you're wrong. It's just a waste of time. Everything's an opinion in life. And you, let me tell you what most of you need to do, especially in wholesaling, take a social media fast. Stop commenting on everything, because in the end, it doesn't matter. And you're just wasting your time and energy. If you put that energy towards your business, you would do so much better. People are like addicted to commenting. You ever notice that? It's like, honestly, I haven't commented on people's stuff in multiple years. People are like, did you disappear, Rick? No, I just got wiser. I don't fight idiots. I'm sorry. So, okay, let's see here. So somebody asked, how often you should be repulling government lists? It just depends on which list you're pulling. So if you're doing probates, you got to do them weekly. I'm sorry to tell you, speed kills in probates. If you're doing like the water shutoffs and the fire damage, the water shutoffs, I probably do every other month or every quarter. It just depends on what you're doing. And code violations, you got to pull at least every quarter, because most of them are going to be redundant. So get the freshest leads humanly possible and work it back from there. Let's see here. What else I got? So Raquel asked about what are your thoughts on current land? And so land's going to follow the same suit as the rest of real estate. Although a much simpler transaction, but people buy land to plan for the future for the most part, or they want peace, or they want a nice field so they can have space next to their house. So it's all based on demand. But if demand is low and inventory creeps up, then that is an opportunity to lock down raw or vacant land. But you got to keep in mind, you have to find a market for cash buyers for it. And that's the biggest challenge when we deal with that. So, let's see here. Where's the other one? Oh my God, you guys have lots of questions. That's awesome. Okay, so last one. Irving asked, what do you mean by inventory? Inventory is the supply of real estate available on the market. So And that's a good question. And I made assumptions because I'm old. So I got to spell it out to you. So here's that they calculate inventory. So if you're in a market where on average 500 houses close on an average 30-day period, and unfortunately this information is recorded by the National Association of Realtors. So it does skip a certain, some of them include like the public records, but I have no idea. So you got to understand this. So if 500 sell in a month, okay, and then there's 1,500 houses on the market, that means you have a 3-month supply. So it's 1,500 divided by 500, and it comes to 3 months. Now, if that number drops down to 300, then your inventory would go from a 3 to a 5. And then if it goes down to 100, then it just shoots through the roof. Do you understand how it works? It's just a big macro of the market. It's a supply thing. When supply gets high, to move that supply, you have to motivate the sellers. You have to motivate the buyers. How do you do that? You offer closing costs or you reduce the price. And then this guy's at 350. She sold for 330. This guy sold for 320. I want to move it faster, 300. And then all of a sudden the supply creeps up. And that's what you watch. And once you get to like double digit supplies, 10, 12 months, it's usually what we call a buyer's market. Now, the tipping point, what's the neutral point? 7, maybe 9 months. That's considered a market that like there's good supply, there's negotiating going on, and it's really good. So it's great. So okay, I'm going to address this one issue like one time. I'm not going to talk about the rest of the time because everybody asked me about it. So he says, what about novations, Rick? I see people doing and preaching's the key word. They're not showing. Remember what I said, either you do it or you show it. Which is more important? I've been making 5 to 6 figure deals, but I don't know much about the process method, what an attorney in fact is. So novations has nothing to do with wholesaling. It is a compromise. It means the seller will not take your low price. So someone came up with a creative strategy. A novation just means you replace one contract with another. I've done it my entire career. I don't know how novations became a course. It's not. So if you're going to do a novation correctly, you have to record a power of attorney. And when you record a power of attorney, you have a fiduciary responsible to who? Your company or the seller? The reality is the seller. And here's what the gurus will tell you. Well, I have special paperwork that will override those powers. I promise you, you stand in front of a judge, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the seller. So how are you going to make a $50,000 or $100,000 profit when you just committed to taking care of the seller and just as you would their own person, just like you would as a father or mother? It's like, and here's the reality is more than 55% of novations fail. And then what happens when you record a power of attorney, all this stuff, you open yourself out for massive lawsuits. I don't like them. I'm not saying they don't work. It's not wholesaling alone. If you want to go do novations, go in the novation world, have fun with it. And I promise you, you're going to get ads. And then guess what? When you have to do a interview call. I got to see if you're a good fit for it. Guess what your qualifications are? Do you have a credit card? Yes or no? That is the qualifying question. You're going to get 10 minutes of fluff, but at the end, do you have a credit card? Period. So I'm just saying when you record legal documents, and even guys, when you record an affidavit of memorandum because your deal fell apart, you better make sure you consult an attorney. You know, I did that once a long time ago on someone else's advice, and I got countersued for it. And I had to settle because I didn't understand. Whenever you cloud title and record a document, you are at risk because you can cause damage by it. And if you don't understand, if you know going in, you know it, you take that risk, I'm fine with it. But a lot of you are brand new and you take like a guru's advice and you're just in shock when stuff falls apart. And the attorney goes, at what point did you think recording a power of attorney was a good idea all by yourself? Well, I bought a course. I paid this guy or gal a course and they told me it was all good. All that stuff's untested until you go to court. And I've watched judges make examples of myself, other people. I did stupid things in my 30s, and I'm here to tell you, if it doesn't sound right and you think you're at risk, you're usually right. So why do they do this? Because someone's got to sell you something, right? Because Zach and Rick are giving away their wholesaling course for free because it should be. Because you guys cannot tell what the hell's going on in wholesaling. You don't know if you got to pay someone. And most, here's my favorite one is, you get what you pay for. No, you don't. I'm so, like, for the most part, did you ever notice when someone tries to sell you a course, you can't look at anything until you fund the full payment. And then even that, I've heard about, there's multiple courses out there where you have to sign an NDA. Guys, there's no secrets in wholesaling. Anybody tells you there's a secret, run. They're trying to get in your pocketbook. And why? Because they're sprinters. They're not marathoners. Not everyone is, but for the most part, you don't have to believe me. It's up to you guys. So, okay, let's jump on and do some lives. If you got any questions, just keep putting them in there. I love the questions. And if I overstep something and I didn't explain it well, I apologize. It's my ADHD that kicks in. So I really appreciate that last question of asking me what inventory is. That is my fault. And I learn from your feedback from you guys. That's the only way I can do it. So let's jump on. I just love some of the comments. So let's do some lives here. Peter, you there? Peter.
I was afraid you were going to pick me first because I
forgot. Oh, come on, man.
I forgot my question the second you said my name.
So, well, now we're here. So tell us what state you're in.
I'm in, I live just outside Boston. I'm doing virtual in the Carolinas right now, though.
Awesome.
I do have two questions that I remember offhand. I live in a multifamily. So a lot of the places around me are multifamilies.
Okay.
There are some single families that I'm like walking by because I go for a run each morning. There's like moss all over the roofs, like just.
Well, hold on. My ADHD is going to kick in here. How far do you run?
I usually do like 2-3 miles a morning.
Yeah. I'm a evening run guy.
My brother actually, he does triathlon, so that's why I was like, I should probably start running.
Running sucks, man.
Yeah, I hate it.
I picked it up during COVID, and now it's like I feel guilty when I don't run.
Yeah.
But I like it because it really relaxes your mind, and like I can think of things, especially in wholesaling, while I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
I try to start with breathing, and then everything else is just like, okay, how can I get more deals? But that's how my brain works. But go ahead. I'll be excited
when I get to that point. Okay. But there's a few houses that I know are in like the $500,000-$600,000 range. Are they still worth doing like putting a sticky note on there or not? Or is that just kind of a little?
You can. They're just more difficult. Okay. I'm going to look for signs where it's like if it's screwed up and it looks like it's vacant,
mm-hmm.
then you got nothing to lose then. But if it's imperfect, probably not. Like they're going to think you're a realtor right off the bat. So listen, the higher price point you got, the truth in wholesaling is the sellers. It's not that they're more sophisticated. They just think they're smarter than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And they need a realtor to walk them off the ledge to get them to the truth. I'm not interested in having that conversation, but full disclosure, I've made $10 to $12 million offers. I'm not going to say I was over my head, but I was nervous because yeah. I had to put up a $2 million deposit and, I did it. We did. I had to put the $2 million up with the damn offer. So it was not easy to do. And at the time I didn't have all the money myself. I put together a team and it was like a lot of work, but it's just, like, you have to go through lawyers. You got to go through real estate agents and brokers. And for that part, it just gets exhausting. So once you get above the average median price and you push up, unless you have signs of distress, I just don't waste my time. A perfect example, tax delinquency. I get a big list. A third of them are like $1 million plus houses. I don't even waste my time because I know all those people are financing the taxes to like pay for other portions of debt until they have to. So I just learned over time and I used to market to all of them. I'm like, for 2.5 years, I beat my head. I never got a deal from them. So I just cut it out. And so here's a rule, guys, so you understand, and most gurus won't share this. Stick to the average median price or lower. Why? It has the most demand. They're the easiest houses to move. And most of them are not sophisticated sellers. I understand, guys, when I say they're not sophisticated sellers, it doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean they're going to roll over and do what you need to do. It just doesn't mean you have to go to that extra layer of BS to an attorney, through a real estate broker and agent, because most of that stuff's a waste of time when you have a house that needs like help from a cash buyer. Because most real estate agents don't know how to go find a cash buyer if they have not specialized in that, and we do. So if you see signs of distress, I would definitely move forward with it. If not, I wouldn't waste my time.
Okay. My other question for digital bandit signs for like Craigslist and stuff like that, are there subcategories you recommend putting those up in, or?
Try them all, dude. Like you just, it's every market's like a little bit different. You know, Craigslist is a, so you guys, what most of you don't know is I spent a huge part of my wholesaling career on Craigslist. We didn't have all this other crap. Dude, I'm a pre-Facebook guy. That's how old I am. So Craigslist was everything to us when we got started, like everything. It has massively changed since then. The amount of filters and crap you got to pay for, but it still works. But Craigslist, unfortunately, it's kind of where all the scammers wind up. So it's like, but if you post enough and you're consistent, you can find deals in it. It does work, but it's different. Like everything changed. We're all talking about change today. Like a lot of people don't go to Craigslist anymore. Back in the day, that was the only thing you could do, because that was like the beginning of like, it was like a pre-social media thing. So you didn't have a choice. So I loved it when everybody went through it. Now we got to go to Facebook. You got to go to Instagram. You got to go to this. And I don't know how you guys deal with Snapchat and all this other fun stuff. Thank God I have kids that educate me on this. Because at some point, like there's people that get wholesaling deals from Snapchat only. I don't know how to do it. And that's why I don't teach you guys how to do it. I would love to be a student and learn how to do stuff like that. It's absolutely crazy. But I have found a lot of tricks, like that whole, bandit comment signs works phenomenally. Like, and I screwed around with that. I go, Zach, what do you think if I posted on these people's paid ads? And we started looking and I go, look at these 30 posts. And we dug through it for 2 hours. And they go, they never respond. And we figured out most of them had ad agencies, and they're usually overseas people, and they don't do anything. I go, so they're paying $5,000-$6,000 for ads. People are posting, hey, can I get more information? And we just grab those people, get their phone numbers, and either DM or reach out to them. And guys, you would be shocked how many deals we get off of that. And honestly, we just put this out a few months ago. It works. I just met somebody through a group. The guy's done 5 deals just off ghost comments. I call them ghost, bandit, whatever you want to do. But people are terrible. In my local market, one of my biggest competitors, which I won't say the name, we just ride them, man. You pay $5,000-$6,000, I'll take the leads for free. Hey, guys, I do not believe in spending $50,000 a month for marketing. You have to do this smartly when you begin. You have to be very smart. I have a very high profit margin because I just don't blanket do PPC. I do direct mail, but very targeted lists. So, I know I kind of went off on that one. You got any other questions?
Yeah, I remember my last question. For pre-foreclosures through List REI, I know Zach said the other night, once the auction date is set, it's kind of hard to get a deal done.
Yes.
If I see some stuff that are still from like 2022, and I'm not seeing any auction date on there, does that mean it's still worth reaching out to, or is that too long at this point?
So part of the theory is when you use like listrei.com is you value your time. So like you're smart. a lot of people do not have the tenacity or the energy to chase down the pre-foreclosures at the courthouse. So remember, all leads derive from your local county courthouse.
Yeah.
Everything else is second nature. So if you ever want to verify something, you can easily go in the public records, because when anyone gets sued for foreclosure, it is a public lawsuit. There is no privacy issues. The whole point of it, it has to be public to make sure everyone's rights have been, I guess, appreciated. So List REI is not going to be perfect because it's a data scraping company and it's far from perfect. But here's the challenge with, I have pre-foreclosures I followed. I have one going on 7 years. So like, it's not the data company's fault. People file bankruptcy. They do all sorts of crap. The idea of when you use List REI, when you do use the pre-filtered list, like the pre-foreclosures, the vacant houses, and like the pre-probates, the idea is they're just like, you're just throwing an ad out there and you go, listen, I know I'm paying for a service, but I'm not getting in line. I'm not spending all my time going to the courthouse and I'm just going to take a shot at it. And that's all. It's not going to be perfect. It was never designed to be perfect. But honestly, when I do virtual markets, I 100% take care of it. I take advantage of all these filters. In my local market, I go get the information.
Yeah.
So you can always get better information. The problem is how much time and energy do you have to expend to get it? And is it really worth it at the end of the day? It's always worth it, but like you question yourself before you get it.
The because I've tried looking through the county court and everything. And in, for some reason, the Carolinas, they just don't list. They make it impossible to like pull anything. At least I haven't had luck with it. If someone else has, I wish you the best, but I just haven't had luck pulling stuff from North Carolina or South Carolina.
Okay. Well, you know, just try to network with some other, go to your local RIAs, try to find, there's plenty of people online. You can find out and see what the norm is for your state. Remember, every state's a little bit different, but here's the challenging part. Every county is a little bit different when it comes to probate and foreclosures, but foreclosures, you guys got to understand, it's a public lawsuit. Probate is actually somewhat private.
Yeah.
Certain parts are supposed to be protected. So there is a huge difference between like a probate and a foreclosure. One's a public lawsuit. The other one's just wrapping up the deceased's final affairs. And some states try to keep it really confidential. Others make it very public. How they come up with these damn laws and they like these disclosure things. 9 times out of 10, you guys are fighting privacy policies, not public policies. And I don't know how a state or a county can go, okay, I know this is public information, but our privacy policy says so-and-so. And that's the hardest part to navigate around. So that's the part you got to find out from hopefully other wholesalers or even investors in your neck of the woods and try to get some truth to it. Remember guys, all real estate is local. There's no national program that will take care of everything. It just doesn't exist. There's no way to do it. And that's what you have to understand when you do that. So try to get your ears on the ground. I'm a big advocate. I like local RIAs. My son thinks I'm crazy, but and a RIA stands for Real Estate Investor Association. It's not that, don't go buy their crap because they're usually going to get a speaker up there and they're going to split the money. Sorry if I'm busting you guys that own it. I used to own one for 7 years. I know how it works. But the relationships are before and after. I met some of my best friends at RIAs. And so I give it credit every day. I've met some people that like I've gotten married because of RIAs. Like, so when you get common interest in there, and if you're single and you need to find someone with a common interest, why not just go find another wholesaler? You can double your business overnight. Maybe I should tell my son that. But anyways, that's maybe you guys could tell him it. It's just true. So get some local knowledge. And just after you've talked to 3 or 4 people, you'll usually get a consensus. And every now and then someone goes, hey, here's what I do. I'm like, okay. So I would love to give you the exact information, but it is local knowledge and you got to get it. And then idea is you pass it down the line to somebody else.
Cool.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Rick. Thank you.
Okay, man. Good luck with the running.
All right.
I'll top it the 5 miles.
I like
your tats, dude. What's that tattoo you got right there?
It's a full sleeve. I grew up in New Hampshire, so it's like a bunch of bears and like log cabins and stuff like that.
See, I started with one tattoo for a commitment I made. And now I find like me talking, like every now and then I stop in the tattoo shop, I start talking. It's like a whole world in the tattoo shop.
They're addicting. My girl has one and we're both, I have like 3 more lined up in my head right now.
Yeah, I got one, just a black and white one. And it was really, it was self-serving. I'm like, I made a commitment. I go, I ain't ever going to change. Cause if I do, I'm a liar. And that's when I commit to something, I do it all in. And now I'm like thinking, I'm like, man, I says, so I waited till I was like 50 to get my first tattoo. So now I'm like 3 years into it. I'm like thinking like, hey, I want to do this. So now I'm like thinking, and like, I talk to my girl that does tattoo. But the thing is, here's the funny part. My tattoo, the girl's only like 3 months into it. And now she's like, so I call her, I go, when's availability? She goes, I'm about 9 months out. I'm like,
yep.
But that's a good thing, guys, because it's like, it means they're really good and there's demand for what they get into. But anyways, I get talking on tattoos. I'm going to get in trouble here. So
you're good.
Okay, man. I appreciate you, man. Thanks, Peter. See you later. Man. Juan, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Rick?
How you doing, man? Long time no speak.
I know, man. I kind of just you know, learned everything I could. And I, like, kind of what you were saying earlier, I just stuck to what I was doing and just, you know, kind of went all in and just started focusing on just, you know, trying to fix everything and dial everything in. And I actually had, last time I think I talked to Zach and I had quit my job.
Okay.
I had some money saved up. So then, you know, I wanted to go after a list that was, you know, that was going to be profitable for me and make sense. Cause you know, just what you were just talking about in the sense where it's like, if you're doing a virtual market, it's a little bit harder. So I did go after the high equity list. So all the filters that you pretty much, you know, broke down. So I wrote everything down.
And what kind of job did you leave, just out of curiosity? Because I'm always curious.
Insurance sales in California. 100%. I couldn't stand it, man.
I want you to understand that 70% of Americans literally hate what they do. Do you know how problematic that is to me? This is my life story. I never fit in school. I never was a good employee. And then I went over backwards for the company. I did everything I could. And they just constantly kept outsourcing my job. And I decided to, after 12 years, I'm going to take accountability. I go, I'm done with this crap. And my goal with this, and the reason I'm sharing with Juan, is I want you guys to understand, don't wait till you get so pinned back in a corner that you don't have any options. And so if you're young and you understand that, the more you realize when you get stuck in this matrix, this BS, it's much easier to get out of it. You can do it at any age. I did it at the peak of, I had young children, a mortgage and the whole thing. But here's what I said. I can't do this one more day. I can't do it. Honestly, I'd rather sit in a camper in a single family trailer and have my freedom than do that crap. Okay. Continue.
Yeah. That's kind of like my story too. 4th of July, you know, I didn't get the day off and I was just like, you know, I'm over this. I'm like, I'm taking the day off.
Yeah.
And I just resigned the next day. I was like, I'm done. I'm like, and my wife's like, I got you, you know, just go all in. I know you've been, you know, wanting to do it. So, you know, I went before that, you know, like in 2022, I went down the guru route. It didn't work out because they're like, you know, do it in Southern California. It's your backyard, blah, 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 Orange County. And I, you know, spent a bunch of money, like at least, you know, close to like maybe 10,000 with the whole, you know, mentorship and all that other crap. And I was like, dude, this doesn't make sense. I was like, it shouldn't be this hard to get a deal. So then that's when I was just looking around and I found you guys. And then, you know, I was already kind of down and out, you know, had already spent all the money I had saved up. So I basically for like a year, I was saving up to you know, go all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, this is the perfect time. Let me just do it. You know, she's got my back and I'm going to do it. So basically July 6th is when I just pulled the list, started doing everything. And I ended up, you know, like getting stressed out because what I did notice with high equity, it's not as frequent as leads. The leads don't come in as frequent because obviously a lot of them, what I was getting the consensus was, oh, I already got called, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it. Just go one more day, one more day, one more day, one more day. Right. And that's what I kept telling myself. And at the end of July, so I believe it was one of the last days of July, I called this guy and I was about to give up that day. I was like, you know what? I'm done for the day. So I was like, man, let's just keep going for a couple more hours. And yeah, I called this guy and he was like, you know what? You called me at the right time. You know, I had some really bad tenants, blah, 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 blah. He's like, you know what? And I built good rapport with him. He's like, you know what, son? He's like, I want to do a deal with you. He's like, all right, well, you know, go ahead, go ahead and send me the paperwork. Cause guy was like 85 years old. So he doesn't do email. He doesn't do, you know, like any of that, technology stuff. So I was like, damn, what do I do? So then I went and I was like looking for the video. Okay. Get a notary to do it. So I saw your video. So boom, I did that. The next day she went, signed the documents. And, you know, I had taken you guys' advice too. So before I even went into the market, before I quit my job, I had already, you know, researched the market. Did the reverse wholesaling. So I looked for the during my lunch hours, I was looking for the title company, found the title company, found cash buyers. And then that's when I decided to just go all in, you know, I found that guy, got the contract and got everything checked out. He went to go look at the house. And then I got hit with another thing, cause it was supposed to close, August 29th. So the 28th was, I believe it was a Monday, the title company calls me and they're like, hey, unfortunately, you know, something's going on with the title. It's clouded. So basically, it's going to have to go through probate. So my heart just dropped, man.
Yeah.
It just dropped. So the old man was like, no, son, I'm going to get this figured out for you. So he went to bat for me, you know, because I built really good rapport with him. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened in the title, so I guess he was able to figure it out. And I closed on the 11th of September 11th. And I just I have them send my check, framed it last week, you know. And I had run out of money by then because I was just like, you know, like I had put in everything I had to basically, you know, get the leads, everything. But yeah, everything closed and I framed my check and I pulled another list, high equity in the same area and just kind of doing the same thing all over again. I'm actually going to start dialing after
this. How much did you make on that deal?
I have the check right here. $25,156.25.
Guys, did you hear that? 25 grand because he took a risk. But like, here's the bigger picture is he got through the hardest part. Like the first deals, it seems overwhelming. But the idea is now he has the skill set. Now he's just got to keep the action and be consistent. And I'm telling you, you can cash these checks on a regular basis. It's going to be a little bit wavy. Everyone likes to tell you it's this perfect straight line. It's not, too.
Yeah.
So take a certain aside and celebrate, especially with your wife to put up with you. And then number two is take money aside and build a war chest and build it until it looks like a bank account, like like a phone number. And I'm telling you guys, I remember when I first started wholesaling, broke's not even the word. I go, man, if we could just get like $2,500 on our account, like there we'd have to use, I'd be happy. And it was 5,000. Then when I put 10,000, my wife looked at me with a new respect that I can't even explain to you. Okay.
Yeah.
And it could be a husband, wife. It doesn't matter. But the idea is like, then she goes, man, if we could just, I think I go, okay, 25. And then it was 50. And then I got hurt. Then we just got used to like 100 grand always being there.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to tell you what the, it never stops. It's like, three. And then I was sitting with a very wealthy group of people. They're like, they go, man, if you don't have like 5 million sitting in a liquid bank account, I feel sorry for you. I'm just like, five? Oh, okay. I'm going back to work. It's like, I'm just telling you, it's a constant moving target. And it's like, the crazy thing is when you have a must in life, you get it. When
you go, listen,
I got to get 10 grand in my bank account. You get it. Not should, not try, not if. You get it. When you want 100,000 in your bank account and it's a must, you get it. You just got to get to work and get it. And I'm proud of you for taking the effort because it takes an incredible, because you're doing what 95% of the world doesn't do. Take risk, believe in yourself, and make a difference. And remember, I want you to understand why it's never about how much money you make. People mistake this all the time with me. If I wanted to be the richest man on the planet, I probably wouldn't even be in wholesaling. But if I want the highest quality of life to spend time with the people I love and adore the most, I'll argue with anyone. Wholesaling is the best. It is hard the first couple of years and you still have trials and tribulations coming. But if you can stick it out, even when you lose a deal, you will survive. So the next thing we got to teach you is about detachment. And the easiest way to do detachment from deals is get a lot of deals in your pipeline. Because if I got 8 or 9 deals juggling, which is the bare minimum, because I feel naked without 20, is I know a certain percentage of them are going to fall apart. It's just, we push people, we push that. But when you only have one deal and it falls apart, I know that because I was hung up on that for years. And the only way you can overcome that is with volume. So volume. I am super proud of you. You get like a big bow down to me. I would love for you guys, just so you guys know, it's I do the Flip with Rick Plus. If you ever want to kind of up your game a little bit more, those of you that do JV deals with me and Zach, you get 1 year free with us. After that, we have a nominal entry fee. It's very, very cheap and affordable. And then the idea is after this live stream, I will have a bunch of people. I sit down and then I answer all their questions directly, like one-on-one with the group there. It's not a huge group. And then October 19th, 20th, we have a live event here in Stuart, Florida. It's going to be awesome. My son's never done a live event for it, so it's going to be special for the people there. We still have availability for that. It's very reasonable. And remember, with Flip with Rick Place, you get to meet us twice in person. So the next one will probably be in the center of the U.S. I'm leaning towards Texas, but steer me wrong. And the idea is we spend 2 days, but like we go in your business and like, don't do boat rides. I still do dinner, but like we spend time just talking about wholesaling. So we probably got 20 hours of pure content. Nothing to sell you and how to do it. So if you want to like step it up, it's not a requirement. Everything.
No, that's actually what I was going to ask you.
Yes.
That's actually what I was going to ask you about the, is, you know, the flip with Rick Plus to get a little bit more in depth, because I had obviously more in depth questions, you know, about the high equity. And I know that after, you know, like 6 months, when you skip trace it, it after that 6 month period, it won't erase the duplicate. So, you know, kind of like structuring the leads and how they come in and all that good stuff. So I can.
But I don't even share the prices on here because they're insanely low. It's like ridiculous. But I believe wholesaling is a journey and you can't pick it up in a couple months. Now, the beauty of me is you work before the event. We actually give you worksheets, and so we can understand your business. You get four times a week. You get with me or Zach one-on-one. So your question always gets answered. We give you a DM, and then we give you two live events a year. And I promise you, mine's an eighth of the cost anybody else's out there. It's minor. If you guys want to check it out, do Flip with Rick Plus. It's not a requirement, guys. And if you don't have money, I get it. Find a good deal. Reach out to us, sellmypaper.com. Let's JV together. And I've got an unbelievable amount of people coming for free. So, and by the way, every deal you do, like we give you another year. So I have one that's done seven deals with me. I will honor it because I believe in people, because I'm in it for the deals. And the idea is I get people through Flip with Rick Plus and I make them better wholesalers. And then we find even bigger deals. And then if you want to work with me, it's great. And with Flip with Rick, so many of you guys have like partnered up together, high quality people. And I think it's awesome. I want everyone to start at freewholesaling.com, because if you're going to survive the journey, you get through there, get your first few deals, I can show you how to hit it way out of the park. And I'm going to earn your trust, because I'm a marathon wholesaler. I'm not a sprinter that's going to take 5 or 10 grand from you and put all the pressure on you. If you want to take action and blow it away, let's do it. It's not a requirement. But one, I'm like really proud of you. I got to wrap this up in a minute because I'm actually doing an extended with my Flip with Rick Plus people with after that. But guys, if you're just starting out, my suggestion is start out at freewholesaling.com, jump on the lives, go and out and get your hands dirty and find it. Because that way, if you decide it's not for you, I'm okay. Then just get out of it. I'm fine with it. But so many of you guys buy this dream story and you don't understand it's going to be hard work. Me and Zach are going to tell you it's hard work up front. Wants proof of it. Absolutely amazing. I might have to get you
Rick.
Back.
Hey Rick, I want to say one thing. So just for everybody that's listening, you know, all the stuff that you know they're teaching, like literally, like for every little thing that came up in my deal and any like little hiccup, I legit just went and looked for it on freewholesaling.com or your videos, and it was like somebody was there with me the whole time. You know.
Hey Juan, let me ask you one last quick question. You got to give me a short answer. Have you tried other people's courses?
Yeah, and they suck.
Yeah. And freewholesaling.com compared to any other course, is it like night and day?
Dude, everything I needed was there.
Like, and did I ever charge you a dime to learn how to do this business?
No, and you remembered me from every single time I came on the live.
There you go.
It's like,
so,
you know?
Now, I don't have a photographic memory, Zach does, so don't hold me to it. But guys, listen, if you want to join me October 19th, it's going to be amazing. It'll be the first one's going to be super special because I'm going to go out of them. Like if you think I go out of my way now, you're going to be shocked in what I do. So it's like, I love this business. If you want to come for a pep rally and like fireworks and like boat rides and caviar, don't come because I'm not doing it. We're going to like roll our sleeves up and just dive into it. And I just love to get immersed in people's business. The only way to do it is really in person, but you get support before, you get support after. And the idea is I'm looking to develop relationships. If you want to do that, check it out, Flip with Rick Plus. And I appreciate it. I got to run here, Juan. I appreciate you, man.
Hey, great. Thanks, brother. Appreciate
it. Okay, awesome. Okay. So, guys, if you want to get started, go to freewholesaling.com. It's scrolling along the bottom. I appreciate you. If you got value from today's video, do me a favor. Make sure you smash that like button, the heart button, whatever it is, and get it going. And as usual, make sure you subscribe to this channel. If you guys got value from this, check me out on the Rick Ginn channel. Sometimes I kick it up even a higher notch. And yes, you guys know my son, Zach Ginn. Check him out on his YouTube channel, guys. I appreciate you. I hope to see more of you guys through Triple Thick Plus. If you want to meet us in person, October 19th, 20th. I only talk about wholesaling. I'm not going to distract you with all this other crap. Let's just teach you how to do wholesaling and how to be the best wholesaler. If that's good for you, it's good for me. I'll see you guys. I appreciate you. Talk to you soon. See ya.